Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle, coming up on the programme this week.
Die Hard is never going to be a Christmas carol, but it's still a Christmas movie, isn't it? I think it's the same with Stay Another Day, and I think that's one of the nice things about it, that it's not really supposed to be.
Is there something slightly cynical you have to do in a recording studio where someone goes, you know what, let's stick some Christmas bells on and then no one can doubt it, let's have a snowy video?
I'd really like it to build into a big crescendo, and he was all over it. He loves orchestration and everything. But not once did I mention bells.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
The home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome to our festive edition of Mental Health Monday. I do hope you're well. Getting this one out nice and quickly heading into the festive period. People have said to me in the past, oh, Mick, I always listen to your podcast a couple of weeks behind. So whenever you do a Christmas special, it's always like the first week in February. So I'm going to get this one out now. So you've got a good couple of weeks to really soak it up. And it's a little bit of fun this week. And it's an absolutely brilliant guest. And there's some real heart to this story as well. Plus, it gives you a real insight into what has become one of our festive favourite tracks. Our guest this week on the programme is the East 17 founder and singer-songwriter Tony Mortimer. Now, Tony is the guy who wrote the song Stay Another Day. And I caught up with Tony because as part of a partnership between Lidl and the NSPCC, there's a £100,000 donation from the supermarket going into the NSPCC to support young people and mental health. So as a result of that, Tony's done a new version of Stay Another Day for the adverts that you'll be seeing that are going out on TV. But as we'll hear in the conversation, there's a lot about music, and there's a lot about melody and memories that people have at this time of year that remind them of people from the past, that remind them of moments from the past, of their own memories in life in the past as well. And sometimes Christmas songs, because they come around every single year, almost give us permission to delve into those. Now, specifically, we don't in this conversation, I'll make this very clear, we don't in this conversation talk about the original version of the song, which was originally based on Tony losing his brother to suicide. Now, Tony's spoken about this in the past. We don't talk about that in the podcast. Now, that was the original basis for the song, which then became a song about the end of a relationship, which is the song that hit the charts in 1994. Wanted to flag that up because there obviously is a link there. It was in the charts for a number of weeks, was at number one for 5 weeks, and of course was at the Christmas number one slot. Now, what a huge thing to do to be Christmas number one, particularly back then. But check this out. At number two was Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas. Now, that has obviously become the Christmas song that everyone hears forever. But when it was released, this track was more popular. This track kept it off number one. And this track and its video, I think, has gone down in a lot of people's memories. There's an amazing story behind it about how it wasn't really a Christmas song to start off with, but with a video and some well-placed Christmas bells, it absolutely became part of it. So Tony was a great guy to spend some time with. Great to see that the work that he's doing here is leading to support for NSPCC, supporting children's mental health this festive period and beyond. And we started off by saying, Merry Christmas, Tony Mortimer.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you too. I've been thawed out and I'm ready to go.
I read a great stat today that your song kept Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas in its original form off number one back in 1994. That song has become the Christmas song. What was it? I can't remember that far back. Was it that big at the time? Or was it such a big deal that you beat Mariah?
What was big? What one was big?
In terms of her song, All I Want, was that, now it's become this mega thing where it wasn't that at the time, was it? But did it feel big that you managed to sort of keep one of the biggest recording artists off the planet off Christmas number one?
It was an honor, and you know, it's one of those really surreal. There were so many surreal moments of the career, and that was definitely one of them. And we knocked off Baby D, Let Me Be Your Fantasy, to get to number one, which they wasn't happy about. God bless her, she was a lovely lady. Was it, I don't know, her songs got a lot bigger afterwards. I think I was just so in shock at being at number one. That's what was taking up most of my mental state at the time. Everything else was, what do they call it? I forget the name of it, but there it was. I forget the name now. But yeah, it was unfortunate for her, and she had a wonderful song. But look how her song's gone on since then. It's really, you know, stood the test of time. But it wasn't a big deal to us at the time, and we didn't set out to do that. It was, we didn't even know we was going to be number one. It was awesome.
You were number one and you held on to
collateral damage. That was it. Sorry. T was collateral damage. It came from
the... I'll see how she responds to that, Glenn.
Yeah, she was like, imagine all her fans are going to come for me. That's it. I'm having a social media blackout.
You were number one. You held that song as well. Your song held on to number one. I mean, I'm not just held on, but sold and sold and sold, didn't it? Despite, you know, all those big songs that were in the charts at the moment, were you surprised that it held on as long as it did right through the month of December?
Oh, yeah. I think it was number one for 5 weeks. At the busiest time of year where you really needed to shift a lot of sales, it was a massive surprise. And it's a massive surprise that the people played it the next year as well and liked it. And it's been going on ever since and people have liked it. So, yeah, it's a massive surprise. My God, nearly 30 years of a surprise. Every year people like it. And, you know, it's now gone full circle where I think even Mariah will admit, you know, she's become a parody of herself and I've become a parody of myself and my songs. So it's good fun. It's good fun.
Yeah, we'll put a link to the little piece for Save Another Day in the notes.
Yeah,
can check that out. I've got a theory, Tony, that your song is the pop equivalent of Die Hard.
I just said that. Yes,
there was a survey. There was a survey, and it was Stay Another Day a Christmas song? 29% agreed, 34% disagreed, and 37% didn't know. So I guess I've got to ask you, is it a Christmas song?
It is now. Was it supposed to be? No, it wasn't. But is it? Yeah, it is, because the public have chose it for Christmas. So yeah, it is now. And I've started to say that. It's the Die Hard movie, isn't it? Is it a Christmas movie or isn't it? No, it's not. I mean, Die Hard is never going to be a Christmas carol, but it's still a Christmas movie, isn't it? And I think it's the same with Stay Another Day. And I think that's one of the nice things about it, that it's not really supposed to be. But there's so many songs like that out there.
I was going to say, is there something slightly cynical you have to do in a recording studio where someone goes, you know, well, let's stick some Christmas bells on and then no one can doubt it. And let's have a snowy video. And then it sort of fits into the package, if you like, of a Christmas song.
Yeah, exactly. I went and had a meeting with Ian Curnow, who's one of the producers, and we sat down and he said, you know, how do you see this song going? And I said, well, I see it really orchestral and just in a big crescendo that gets bigger and bigger as the time goes on. It starts quite sparse and as we go on, you know, I'd really like it to build into a big crescendo. And he was all over it. He loves orchestration and everything. But not once did I mention bells. Not once did I mention bells. And then I heard that was the record company's idea. So they put the bells on afterwards. And it literally had the whole track, had everything. Ian threw everything at it, the kitchen sink and bells and whistles. But the bells went on at the end, yeah, obviously, to make it more Christmassy. And it did.
Am I right in saying, I think I remember there was like quite a subdued video of you guys in the recording studio. And then when it became clear it was heading towards Christmas, you made this sort of iconic second video where the puffer jackets came out and the sunglasses and the sort of the black and white. And I think that's how people remember the East 17 look, as sort of like...
Yeah, they did. What the story behind that was we had, I think we had 5 singles off that album. It was the most successful album. And we'd run out of video budget. So even though we knew it was going to be a big song and it was going to be our biggest song, the record company went, you know, you're not getting no more budget and you've got about 8.5 pence left. So we had to sort of do this video in a recording studio for 8.5p. And then the record company turned around and said, no, they don't like it. So then the management really pushed and pushed, and we got a whole separate video budget where we'd done a proper video for it, which went on to be sort of the iconic one that people know. But it originally started out because we had no more budget left. So we done our poor video. But then the record cut, and they ended up, I think, paying more because they had to do two videos. So had they just listened to the management in the beginning, it would have saved them a lot of money. But, you know, that's the story behind it. And it was all good fun. And it's got us to where we are now on a Christmas puffer wearing parody.
I've got to ask you about the puffer jacket. So, like, did you get to keep the puffer jackets? There'd be plenty of people who think, oh, they look nice and warm. They're actually still very much 29 years later, still in fact.
Yeah, they came back. I mean, they didn't. I've got mine here. I think the original one's in the garage. It just happened to have one. I just happened to have one. That's what it's become. That's what the song's become. Nothing to do with melodies and harmonies and lyrics. It's white. It's all about the white puffer coat. The original out in the garage.
I think it's fair to say, though, that the sort of critical acclaim around the song is still really strong. I think it was named in top 100 of the best number ones of the last century. And I think people could see the heart in the song, the sort of the emotional resonance.
Yeah, there's a massive heart in it, definitely, for sure. I definitely left a part of my heart in there. And people do like it, and they do warm to it every year. But what it means, really, I know where it came from, but it is kind of personal to everyone that listens to it. And sometimes it means what it means to that person, you know. So people have taken to it, and they have, you know, in all seriousness, they do like it. And I know it's very jokey nowadays with the white puffer, but yeah, I think people do like it. They find it sometimes quite intense. But, you know, I think that was the intention when I wrote it. I just never knew anyone's ever going to hear it.
I think that thing, though, that people hear a song and you hear it, you don't hear it and then see the video and then instantly get, you know, what do all your mates think of it? You have that personal link to a song, though, don't you? So you'll take from it. Yeah. You'll take from it what you want to take from it. And I think a song that sticks like that, when it comes around every year, allows you to sort of dip back into those feelings.
Absolutely. Music is like time travel. It will transport you back there instantly. And it is what it means to that person. I remember what I years ago, I'd tell people what the song was about, and they'd say, oh, what it means to me is this. And I learned that they was quite adamant about that is what it means to them. And that's what's important. It's what the song means to them. And that's why people like it, because of what it means in their life. And the moment, you know, Paul McCartney's Wonderful Christmas Time, the opening chords start, and it takes me back to the 1970s, to my little living room in Clapton, and I'm sure he did not have that in his mind when he wrote it. It transports people to different places. You know, songs mean different things to different people, and I'm just honoured I wrote something that can, you know, cross a lot of bridges into people's hearts, and it means something to all of them. But, you know, we kind of reworked it for the little thing. And we've borrowed it for a couple of weeks to make it's a bit of fun, but it's a very good campaign, and it's quite a serious one.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just mention £100,000 donation going to NSPCC and supporting young people and their mental health. Young people have had a very tough time of it, and whenever you see the stats around, you know, the experiences of young people, really difficult time, and things seem to be getting worse for them as well. It's something we as a society have got to be across, hasn't it, as an issue?
Yes, I mean, This is wonderful. It's hopefully if we can get out that a child has somewhere to go and they can make a phone call, because people's lives, you know, it's not all joy in there at Christmas, and it's a very stressful time for a lot of people. There's a lot of pressure on families at Christmas, and an incredible amount of pressure. And if I can give back a little bit by, you know, I was honoured. I really was, that Lidl wanted me to be, you know, they use the word ambassador, which is very, very flash. But I am really honoured that I could hopefully get some attention and shine a bit of light by readapting the song and making it a bit lighthearted for them, and to draw some attention and hopefully shine a little light that, you know, if we can help someone at Christmas, because it can be a bad time. It's not always fun, childhood. And for them to donate $100,000 to the NSPCC is, you know, I'm humbled by it that they want me to associate with it. I know they wanted to use a song I wrote, so they've asked me to be part of it. But it's a wonderful thing they've done. It really is. It's a wonderful thing. And if it makes me, it's selfish, but it makes me a bit happy. It feels like I'm giving back a little.
And when you've got the radio on, either in the car or in the kitchen or whatever, and the song comes on the radio now, you've got, you know, Magic Christmas on. How do you respond to it? What happens when that song comes on the radio now?
Well, I don't know. But I do hear it when I go into shops, and you can't turn it off, or you're in a shopping precinct, and it's nice. It's like it's a bit of you up there, and you want to tell people you wrote it, but you know you'd be mad, and people would just go, "Okay, you're a bit weird." But it's strange. It's surreal, and I'll never get used to it. I accept it, and I like the funnier side of it, especially this year. I like the funnier side of it. It's made me laugh, this whole advert, redoing the old video and stuff. It made me laugh a lot. But it's quite surreal when it comes on, but it's nice.
You reckon Mariah Carey's ever in Tesco, and then All I Want for Christmas comes on, and she nudges the person next to her, go, "It's me, that is."
Yeah, I reckon she does. I reckon she does. I reckon she nudges her entourage. "That's me. I just like to say." I think, you know, because she's a normal person at the end of the day. She's not always on stage, and she has to nip down the road for sugar, I'm sure. She does it. Don't worry. She does it. And she'll pop in there at Christmas. And she's got so many songs out that she'll hear her songs on the radio. Of course she does. And it's nice. You give a little wry smile.
I bet you do. Tony, wish you all the best for the festive period. Really appreciate you speaking to us today, and have a great Christmas.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me. You have a lovely Christmas.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.